this chapter. I'm going to preach to you today about a very sad subject, but I pray it'll bless you and help you, challenge you. I'm going to preach to you on devil-worshipping Christian youth. Devil-worshipping Christian youth. As you see, I love me, and there's the dragon right there. Let's read together. Begin. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Dear Lord, I do pray that You bring whoever needs to hear this, God. May You arrange. May they be here right now in this church. May they be listening. I do pray that everyone will be benefited from it, Lord. But I do pray some will turn their hearts towards You right now in their youth, Father, which I believe is the purpose of this chapter. We thank You, Holy Father. Thank You for the Bible. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. There appears to be a major quest among fundamental Bible-believing Christians. Try to discover why so many children, when they get a little bit older, they turn away from the Lord. They turn away from the church. They turn away from the standards they were raised in. When we were in Texas and we had an afternoon service, that enabled me in the early evenings to be able to visit all of the churches that I could visit every single Sunday. I did it for years. I did it for years. We would just have church in the morning, church in the afternoon, and then I'd gather up my family and we'd go find a church somewhere. And I just sat in the back and I just observed. And I'm going to tell you one thing I saw. One thing I saw, no young people. The fundamental Bible-believing churches, no young people, no babies, no children, no children. If you ever saw a teenager, I mean, he had some hooks all over his nose and he was rolling his eyes and couldn't wait to get out of there. And you come back next time, he's not even there. I'm telling you, there's a problem. There's a problem. And that's one of the reasons people have compromised. They said, what are we going to do? The young people are leaving. And it's not only the fundamental churches, wherever they are. It's almost all Christian churches. They call this postmodernism, and it's been snowballing since the 1960s. What is postmodernism? Well, it's just really a catch-all phrase for the rejection of everything. The rejection of certainty. The rejection of truth. They are the so-called God is dead theologians and philosophers. And this is what's been sold to this world. God's dead, and you might as well not care. Not care about your Bible, not care about truth, don't care about God. Because, by the way, you are God. That's what they're trying to tell you. Just goes back to the book of Genesis. That's the first thing the serpent told man. He hasn't changed his game plan. He's just telling the same old message. You can be as God, just reject your father. I've quoted many times the first humanist pastor, Charles Potter. And remember in 1930, he began to brag and laugh. And he wrote a book called Humanism, the New Religion. And you know what he said. I've quoted it so many times. He said, you Christians are so stupid. He said, you set up, you basically tore down the state church with you Baptists, but you set up a humanist church called public school. And now, public school is humanist church. And he laughed and says, we have your children 5 days a week. Sunday school has them only one day a week for a couple hours. He says, we win. We win. Just give us one or two generations and you will not be able to have a Christian church in America that's not a humanist church. Ooh, I tell you what, just a few decades, what he said was fulfilled. It's hard to have a Christian church today that anybody would go to that's not a humanist church. Now, they might have Christian written over the name, but it has to be a self-centered church. It has to be a church that causes you to have self-esteem and self-worth and self-fulfillment and basically pick you up. It's basically a human potential church. And we know that these Christians, these churches have been trying to reinvent themselves into humanist churches as quick as they can. But it's not just those that are going to public school. The homeschool crowd, many of them are jumping ship. And we can get into a lot of reasons for that, you know. The Lord says that if you've been forgiven much, you'll love much. And you don't have to go out of here and get involved in sin, but sometimes there's a shallowness. If you've grown up a Christian and you've always been a Christian, you've never been out there, and I'm not telling you to go into the world, God forbid, because you may not come back, and there is no profit in going to the world, and there's scars and horrible judgments and just a terrible, filthy thing, and do not go to the world. Praise God for your goodly heritage. But you need to understand, those that have been given more light are responsible for more. So therefore, you have plenty of light that you have rejected. What should you be with what you've been given? So you have plenty to bow your head before God. If the angels that never sinned can cover their face before God, the homeschool crowd can cover their face before God for what you've done with the light that God has given you. And then I tell you what, maybe we'll start loving God more, being thankful for what God has given us. Another reason that so many in the homeschool crowd jump ship when they get of age is that so many homeschooling parents can't wait to open the windows and make sure that whatever humanism was in the school can still get in their kids and socialize them. I don't understand it. Why homeschool? If you're going to let the world into your home, why did you homeschool? I don't understand the purpose of it. What a waste of time! Another reason is there is an unbelief concerning separation. You just might as well admit it. There is a scorning of what God says about separation. You don't believe it. God is the one, not me, not fundamentalism. God is the one who gave us the truth about the power of separation. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. That's why you caused your children to drink in the world. You don't believe the doctrine of separation. You believe it came from some fundamental pastor somewhere, and you do not believe it came from the Holy Spirit God. I'll show you it came from the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? How about your whole family get leaven real quick? You want to let a little leaven into your home? If Paul didn't want to let a little leaven inside that church, why do you let it inside your home? I don't give... I tell you what. I could care less about any psychologist or any story or any opinion of man. This is what I live and die for right here. God said it. I believe it. What about this one? Be not deceived. I guess there's a lot of homeschool parents deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manner. Why do you let evil communications come into your home? Why would you poison the next generation? And not only poison those in your home, but then infect everybody else all around you. Proverbs 13, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Why do you bring fools into your home? Why do you allow your child contact with fools? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Now, that right there would be enough to fix a lot of problems right there. Just get Christians to believe their Bible. Just get fundamental Baptist Christians to practice what they're supposed to believe. But now let me add to this. Separation is not regeneration. What do I mean by that? I mean, there must be a new birth. You can't just raise a child in church. Do they have the new birth? Have they ever believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Have they ever come to the Lord and realized I'm a sinner and accepted Jesus as their Savior? That's very important. You children, that's very important. It's very important that you understand you're a sinner and you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that the way the gospel is so watered down today, I mean, turned into work salvation. You might as well be a Mason or a Buddhist or a Muslim or something. The way they turn the gospel into a work salvation. I don't know how anybody can get saved under these things, you know. But God in His mercy allows many to hear the truth regardless of man's errors. And praise God, they get saved, they believe upon the Lord Jesus. With some of these preachers, I haven't the slightest idea how it happens. I tell you, God's good, isn't He? God's good. So there needs to be a new birth. Parents, make sure your children get saved. That's so important. But listen to me. Realize there's going to be enemies, Church of God. If you say, I believe these Scriptures, I'm going to homeschool my children, I'm going to raise a godly seed for the Lord, understand there are going to be enemies. The devil is not going to allow you to separate. He's coming after you. Just like Pharaoh came after the children of Israel. They were trying to separate from that world at that time. And I tell you, Pharaoh came after him. Pharaoh came after those children. And I tell you, Moses says, no, we're not giving you our children. Pharaoh said, make me a deal. I'll let you go worship and play church. You give me your children. Moses says, no way. Not going to happen. We're going to take our children with us. We're taking our old folks. We're taking our children. And I tell you, he came after them. He came after them. And if you think you're going to separate your children from this ungodly world and you're going to homeschool them, the devil's coming after them. The devil's coming after them as sure as Pharaoh came after the children of Israel. So you must know there's going to be enemies. There's going to be an almost constant attack upon your separation. It can come from family members. It can come from inside your house. It can come from the state. It can come from whatever Satan can find to use. But he is going to try to tear down your desire and your intention to separate your children. I'm going to tell you, the devil has enough inside the heart and flesh of the growing child. But for some reason, he desperately and unceasingly seeks outside reinforcements. See, it's as if he knows, I need somewhere, some reinforcement to pour gasoline upon the fires of that rebellious desire that's in every single child. And the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the child. And you can't cause a child to love God. You can't cause a child to be saved. But one thing your job to do as a parent is to make sure that child is humbled under the rod of correction. And that child grows up respecting authority so he can be in a place not to be selfish and a spoiled brat. I tell you, if you just raise your child, teach them about the Lord, teach them the Bible, and raise them not to be a spoiled brat, the Holy Spirit can take over. Do you understand that? What a blessing that is. But so many Christian parents don't do that one simple thing. I was watching a turtle race yesterday at the rodeo. We had an Ozark turtle. Boy, he was running down the road, dust coming up. I said, he's going to win. And he almost won. He got over all the way to the edge, and then he turned around right before he won me $50. But anyway, I was sitting there looking at this little girl, and I heard her parents tell her over and over, warning after warning after warning. She just ignored her parents, just ignored no matter what. I was getting tired of listening to the warnings. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way Christians, professing Christians, raise their children today. No wonder they grow up to be spoiled brats and reject God and think that they're their own gods. They're raised as little gods. But I want you to understand, as you fight to create and protect the right environment, somewhere, sometime, as you're protecting that separation, somewhere, sometime, that child, even after he's saved, must choose to love God. Must choose to love God's truth. And when he loves God and loves the Bible and loves God's truth, he'll naturally love God's church that's preaching the truth and supporting the truth and is the pillar and ground of that truth. At first, Joshua can choose for everybody. He says, for me and my house, and he meant it. You want to go serve Baal in Joshua's house. But you're living in a day when the headship of fathers and their influence has been greatly undermined. And as this battle is fought more and more, as early as possible, children need to choose to give their hearts to God and their godly fathers and mothers. And they need to choose to love truth and humble themselves. I just want you to understand. One day you'll have the power. And the state's already trying to give little toddlers power to do whatever they want. This ungodly state that's in the hands of the devil. I say state, I mean the government. The Bible said this whole world is in wickedness. And that Satan's the god of this world. There are some good folks in government trying to do what they can. But I'm just letting you know that the devil is going to do everything he can. Everything he can to stop you from raising a godly child. And I just want you children to know you have to choose to love God. Just because you can. Just because you can get away from the truth. One day. That didn't make it right. If you hate God, that's a sad thing. That is a sad thing. And if you hate God's truth, and you can't wait to get away from God's truth, that is a very sad thing. There's no wonderful things out there that we're trying to keep you away from. You need to sit down with some folks and listen to some testimonies. You need to talk with some older people before you go out and do something stupid. You need to say, what's out there? And don't you get that delusion where you say, well, I got to find out for myself. Isn't that about the most foolish thing you could ever think of? Do you have to find out for yourself? Some people are that stupid. Whether or not sticking something in an electrical socket will shock you. I got to go find out for myself. Praise God, you've got somebody that was dumb enough to go over there and tell you the Bible's true. You don't have to take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Take Solomon's word for it. And take my experience for it. God's right. God's right. There is nothing out there that you ought to be curious about. Nothing but slop and the devil and a lot of lies and a lot of judgment and a lot of consequences that long after, I'm talking decades after you've repented, if you ever get the chance to repent, it's still reminding you of it. It's still, the consequences are still burning. For every Christian-raised homeschool child who will not hear the word that they were brought up being taught, when you choose not to hear, unless God cuts you down instantly, you'll get a chance to have God take over and do what your daddy should have done. See, God will take over. And that's when you don't want to hear the word. God says, hear ye the rod. And you get the life of hard knocks. And God's going to begin dealing with you. Jacob was separated. Jacob was raised in a godly environment. But his mama came and said, Jacob, I want you to rebel against your father. For a godly cause, of course. Jacob said, no way. I'll get in a lot of trouble. Mama said, I'll bear your burden. I'll bear your judgment. You know what happened? For about 21 years, Jacob had to bear God's rod. Jacob had to bear God's rod. And he had to wrestle with God. And after 21 years of affliction and being put through the fires, he fell down crying before God, wrestling with God, saying, God, please. Please, don't let my brother kill me. And old Jacob come limping back. He come limping back. Jacob learned to get revival and say, we're going up to the house of God. Change your garments. Put away your gods. Put away your idols. We're going back to God now. And Jacob came limping back to God. And if you ever come back to God, you'll come limping back to God. And you'll look behind you, and you could have had a good testimony before, but now God will still use your experience if you're alive. And you can go tell everybody how horrible it is out there. Don't ever do it. Don't ever do it. Don't ever do it. Because there'll be a lot of fools who can't wait to go out there and serve Satan as if Satan's going to give them anything. Man, oh man, I tell you. Many never survive the school of hard knocks. Respect for God's rod of judgment was supposed to be instilled in the child early. So they realize it's nothing you want to gamble with. God's not mocked. But psychology has replaced this rod of discipline and reproof in the homes of parents. And I'm going to tell you, you don't need psychobabble. You don't need a bunch of relatives getting mad at you. You don't need fear of the state, because in your own heart is the desire to pamper your child. If that was so, why did Solomon have to say and warn you over and over that if you spare the rod, you hate your child? Because in your heart, you're going to think, but my child doesn't need it. My child doesn't need it. He's just so... You don't understand my child. You don't understand. He's special. And we know. We understand what's wrong with you, not your child. You've got the problem. I told one man that. It was a missionary, author. And I let him know. He says, he put his hands up in the air. So what should I do? I said, you're the problem. So, well, my child's special. I said, that's the problem. That's the problem. You're the problem. You're the problem. You don't want to obey God. You never have. You know, parents themselves open the windows to Satan. You don't have to put a Hollywood movie on that teaches just about every movie shows a father and you disobeying the father and then you find freedom. How can you show your child every single day a movie and listen to music, and show a movie, and listen to music, and show a movie that teaches, guess what? It pays to rebel against your dumb old dad. Every commercial, every Hollywood movie, rebel against that authority that's trying to hold you back so you can go be a god and be liberated. How in the world can somebody sit through years of that brainwashing and not believe it? But you don't need to sit down in front of one of these wicked movies that model rebellion, and the whole movie is just a drama showing you how rebellion pays. You don't need to do that. Because children are watching. And you model respect for authority. The first way they see respect for authority is through the mother. How does she respond to the father? And if mother says, this is what you do, you talk about authority behind the back, you eye-roll authority behind the back, you mock it, you think of it as some stupid thing that you don't have to respect, you don't have to have fear of God in regard to, you can just mock the headship of the father because it's a stupid thing, just as Hollywood says. Well, mom, when your child finally gets some power, they're going to... I've seen children have the same eye-rolling, the same facial expressions as I've seen in the mamas with the husband. I've watched it. I've watched this decade after decade. Where do they learn how to rebel? And fathers, before you say, yeah, I told you, you need to obey me, you're messing up the children, you need to understand something. Your children are watching how you respond to church authority and every other authority in your life. They're watching how you mock the preacher. They're watching how you despise what's taught from this pulpit. They're watching how something that I would die for and I believe fully, if it's the Word of God, follow it. But I'm going to tell you, they're watching your rebellion, and the Bible says in Hebrews 13 that you ought to obey them that have the rule over you. It's talking about church. There's no absolute obedience. Only to God. But I believe there's a slackness in regard to church authority. There's a slackness in regard to what is taught from this pulpit. And go ahead. Go teach your children. Hey, convenience is what you ought to live for. It's all about convenience. I'm going to show you that it doesn't matter what the pastor said. It doesn't matter really what's wrong or right. What matters is convenience. And I'm going to show you that as long as the pastor doesn't see, as long as good Christians don't see, we do whatever we want to do. Oh. No wonder your child grows up and says, "Hey, Dad, I learned. You showed me with the pastor what I'm going to do to you. Now you're going to reap. You're going to reap what you planted. Mama, just the way you respond to Daddy, that's how I'm going to respond to you now." You want children to respect authority? Model it. I'm telling you, as clear as I'm sitting here, I would tremble before I disobeyed one thing from a pulpit that a preacher preached. It'd have to be something that I knew, that I knew, that I knew, that I knew was not from the Word of God. There's a time when I'll cross a police line, I'll disobey the government. But there has to be a reason. And I believe I need to give an explanation for what my reason is. Because I'm not going to disobey God to obey government. But don't model a pattern of evil rebellion. Don't teach them that convenience is all that's needed to justify. Don't model for them a scorning of wisdom. Don't model for them this idea that you just play the game. Speaking of games, let me get to my point today. There's a deadly game in America that Satan likes to play. He likes to give people witchcraft and Satanism, but just change the name, so it doesn't look like witchcraft and Satanism anymore. And Christians and people, just standard Americans, that would run and shun Satanism and witchcraft, bring them the same practices, but get rid of all the names that speak of witchcraft. And they will buy it. They will endorse it. They will live by it. Listen to one of my messages online many, many years ago on positive thinking and how I show you directly that it came from the occult and witchcraft. I don't mean just being encouraged. I don't mean just in trying to look at the glass half full. I'm talking about positive thinking where you think through your mind you can control through natural forces or occult forces and cause people to give you money. That's what's out here in the business world. The secret in these books, the power of positive thinking, that they tell you it came right from devil. He tells you, Napoleon Hill says some leaders, these figures appeared to him and gave him this truth, you know. God help us. This positive thinking became the American religion. Much of psychology itself, which is the American religion, came directly from the occult. Freud tried to hide it. He snorted cocaine. But Jung and other psychologists fully embraced the reality and said, "Well, why don't you just admit that this all came right from the occult?" And so what you have is positive thinking and psychology that are pure occultism, magic, with different names added to make it appear scientific. Because they know when magic is repackaged as science, people will embrace it eagerly. This has actually been occurring way back in the early Renaissance with Hermetic sorcery. Men like Bruno and others repackaged Egyptian Hermetic sorcery as science. Later Satanists like Aleister Crowley laughed and looked back and said, "That's back when you embraced occultism." And he says, "And we've been doing it ever since." And he even called his magic science, you know, science. So it's an old game to call magic and sorcery whatever is popular at the moment, so you will buy it and you will embrace it. And with that in mind, let me show you something here in 1 Samuel 15. Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord hath sent me." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And there's going to be many believers that are saved. Once saved, always saved, you will be rejected from reigning in the coming kingdom. You will be rejected from being king, just like Saul did. And not only will you be hurt today in all of the blessings that God has for you, but you'll be hurt at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to cost you. But what I want you to see here that's so important, there are some crucial revelations for every person, young or old, but I want every young person to get this straight right now. What he teaches you here, listen to me, wake up. What he teaches you right now is a form of godliness with a few outward words and rituals is not the same as obedience. Just because you talk about Jesus, just because you do a few outward things, he had the sacrifices, he had the offerings, but he didn't obey what God said. So don't you think you can leave and get out here and say, "Well, I'm going to be a little bit religious. I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to be spiritual." The Bible said in the last days they'll have a form of godliness, but they're going to love themselves. They have a form of godliness, but they'll actually be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And they're going to have a form of godliness just like Saul had. So don't you think a form of godliness is going to be some type of way that you can just walk and do your own thing? No, 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 no. And look at number two. Rebellion. Rebellion against God's command is of the same nature as witchcraft and idolatry. You say, "I'm not a witch. I'm not a Satanist." Please understand, young person, today you are practicing Satanism if you walk in rebellion and stubbornness. Saul had got rid of every witch and tore down the idols, and God wanted to tell Saul that when you commit rebellion against God, you're of the same plane, the same nature as witchcraft. You might as well be a witch, is what God's saying. I know those are hard words. Those are hard words, but it's true. And you need to understand that right now, you know, it's no wonder that Saul soon ended up at the house of a witch, practicing witchcraft. You know that? And you get out of church and you say, "I'm just rebelling." You know, you're not even going to tell yourself you're rebelling against God. Just like Saul said, "I've done the will of God." You're going to leave church, God forbid. You're going to forsake the standards that you've been brought up with, God forbid. But you're going to say, "I'm obeying God. Look, I talk about spiritual things. Look how spiritual I am." And there's going to be abominations in your life that you're going to commit. The world might not call them abominations, but God calls them abominations. And you're going to be in direct rebellion against the Bible. And you might even say, "Yes, I reject that fundamentalism," which means interpreting the Bible literally. And if God says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. And so you turn against God and you start committing these abominations and you say, "But I'm not a Satanist. I'm not a witch." And I'm going to tell you something right now. God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you know what? It's not long before these people end up witches. It's not long before they end up practicing open witchcraft. It's not long before they just take the mask off and they just go ahead and jump in. They just go ahead and jump in. So I'm telling you right now, there are many Christian kids, as they get a bit older, are starting to practice Satanism. They say, "How dare you? We're not practicing Satanism. How dare you?" I'm telling you, when you rebel against God, who do you think you're following? It's not the Holy Spirit. What spirit do you think is on you? Who do you think you're walking in? Who do you think you're obeying? Who do you think practically you're living your life unto? Who do you think your Father is? If you've rejected the authority of Father God, practically, who do you think you're following? God says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. We've already seen that watered down, feel good, fake Christianity is the most popular worldview today. Is that what you want? I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you practice watered down, feel good, fake Christianity, you're following the devil. You're following the devil. I'll go even further. You're worshiping the devil. I'll go even further. You're worshiping the devil. You say those are hard words. I tell you, if a kid gets out here and rebels against God, rebels against the standards that God said that are clear, right in the Word of God, you're practicing Satanism. You are practicing Satanism. You are living the life of a Satanist. I tell you, that might seem strong to you. This was front page news the other day, unheard.com. Why are women becoming witches? Her profile picture shows an attractive young woman wearing a black dress that reveals both tattooed cleavage and one tattooed thigh. This is a power that is linked to magic, which she says is open to all who choose to claim it. The universe is vast, and we need as many healing information sources as possible. It's time for us to awaken and tap into the deepest parts of ourselves and into the natural magic that is offered to us by this very planet we inhabit. She is a magical influencer whose posts appeal to an increasing number of people, especially young women, who self-identify as witches and who account for the 6.8 million Instagram posts. On TikTok, witches are even more popular. It's not just a digital phenomena. Taylor Swift's latest album, Evermore, has seen witches welcome her to their tribe. In the last few years, witchcraft manuals, such as Hexing the Patriarchy, have been published in number and sold well. Self-identifying witches have become political, like the protesters in Boston in August 2017 who dressed as witches and carried signs saying witches against white supremacy. In February 2017, Michael Hughes posted online a spell to bind Trump and all those who abet him. Modern-day witch Gabriella Hursnick told Sabbat magazine that witchcraft is feminism. It's inherently political. It's always been about the outside, about the woman who doesn't do what the church or patriarchy wants. She is echoed by April Graham, whose sweep is even broader. A witch is somebody who stands against patriarchy. Witchcraft, then, has been repackaged as a kind of female empowerment. Eric Feldman, the proprietor of Haas Witch Shop in Salem, says that for her, the initials witch stand for woman in total control of herself. Do you see what's happening? Witchcraft repackage. We're rebelling against the patriarchy. We're not rebelling against God. Basically, we're rebelling against everything Paul said. We're rebelling everything God said. We're rebelling against Genesis 3. We're rebelling against 1 Timothy. We're rebelling against Ephesians 5. We're rebelling against Paul. We're rebelling against Jesus, whether they say it or not. They're rebelling against the Bible. They're rebelling against the patriarchy because they're rebelling against the Bible. And a nation that turned to rebellion soon ended up in blatant witchcraft. First they said, well, we're not going to become witches. Now they're becoming witches. See, just like Saul ended up at the witch's house, this is where the country's ending up. You're just right back to the paganism, right back to the magic that Christianity got us out of. See. Rebellion is as witchcraft. Let me prove it. Oh, there you go. The magic that's in you. That's the popular mantra, isn't it? Listen to this. Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then you get down here, he says idolatry, witchcraft. Are you getting the point here? Are you getting the point that adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, this includes immodesty, tempting others to lust. You know what adultery is. You know what fornication. Here you see pornography, all of that stuff. How can you sit down and watch pornographic movies? You say, oh, well, the world calls this PG. Well, what are you doing following man? Pornography is pornography. How can you sit down and watch this junk? And I'm going to tell you something. You say, I'm a good Christian. I'm not a witch. Well, nowadays the movies are filled with witchcraft. What you have fellowship with is what you're doing. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. That means to have rivalries of wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. For the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The thousand-year reign of our Lord, Revelation chapter 20, 1 Corinthians 15. It'll cost you. If you suffer, you shall reign with God. But if you don't want to suffer against the world and against the flesh, if you want to live your life unto yourself, you will not inherit the coming kingdom of God. There is a judgment seat of Christ for believers, and knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But I just want to show you that rebellion is as witchcraft. How can you go out here and say, I'm just going to be a rebel, but I'm not going to be a witch. I'm not going to be a Satanist, but I'm going to be a rebel. No, you're living like a practical Satanist. I hope you see. Let me try to make it plainer. Back in the late 19th century, Spiritism and Theosophy, where they wanted to get in touch with their dead grandma, it spread around the world. Occult psychology began to explode. It was the biggest revival of occultism the world had ever seen. Out of that smoke, a wicked, perverted man arose who was later idolized by rock bands like the Beatles and others in the 1960s. His name was Aleister Crowley. He believed himself to be the prophet of the New Age. They sing songs about him. He's on the back of the Beatles album. I mean, they might not talk about him a whole lot, but what he teaches is in your movies, your Hollywood movies. It's in your concerts. It's in the pop songs. He believed a spirit, a devil, dictated a text to him known as the Book of the Law. Well, we have our Book of the Law, amen. We don't need no devilish satanic. But the Bible said in the last days, many shall turn away. It says some shall turn away from the faith and give heed to doctrines of devils. There's people in churches right now following doctrines of devils. Are you imbibed with Crowleyism? Well, what did his Book of the Law say? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. He called it thelema, which means desire or will. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And he said, you don't have to call yourself a Crowleyite. You don't have to follow every little thing that he said to do. Just do what you will, and you will be following Satanism. Do you understand? So, what is Satanism? Live like an animal and do whatever you want to do. Crowley said, follow your subconscious mind. Reject your reason. It's like M. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled. And in that book, it exploded all over the place back a few decades ago. He said, your subconscious mind is God. See, psychology, your subconscious mind is God. Just follow your subconscious. See, Crowley said, sit still, quit thinking about it, just go do it. And that exploded in the 60s. With don't think about it. Just go be experienced. Do drugs. Just be... taste everything. Go live like God is dead. This exploded in the 1960s. There was even magazine headlines. Can't remember if it's Time or Newsweek, but it says, Is God Dead? 1966. And then a man, Anton LaVey, began in 1966 the very Church of Satan. And what did he say? He said, don't believe in God. Live like an animal. Sin. Do what thou wilt. Do you see why? When God said that when you rebel against God's commandments, you're living like a witch. You might as well be a witch. Do you understand the Satanists, all they said was go do what you want to do? How many young people leave their Christian home? They say, I'm just doing what I want to do. It's all about me. I just want to do my thing. Well, when you want to do your thing, you're following the devil. Because that's what the devil came to get you to do. What did the leader of the Church of Satan teach? He said, live like an animal, whatsoever you desire, indulge yourself and your carnal desires, and do whatever ritual you can to try to quit thinking about it, whether it's drugs, whether it's speaking in some type of chant or something. Do something to try to destroy your reason, your conscience, so you can live like a carnal animal. What did God tell you? By the way, what's a telemite? A telemite? One who does as he pleases, says Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Do whatever you want. The Lord Jesus, he came to do God's will. He came to do the will of his Father. See, Paul says we please not our own selves. We come to please God and help others. I tell you what, the Crowleyite, the Satanists, do what they please. And just because you don't call yourself a Satanist, if you do what you please, what do you think you are? You're a Satanist. Whether you know it or not. It doesn't matter whether you wear the title or not. But it said in the last days in Jude, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute, that means unreasoning beasts, and those things, they corrupt themselves. God said in the last days they're going to live according to what they feel, according to animal desire, as if they're an unreasonable dog. A dog that lacks reason. Basically, you're going to say whatever a monkey does. A fellow even wrote a book basically saying it entered into the colleges of the 1930s. He basically said, we watched a bunch of monkeys, and since we're just glorified monkeys, if the monkey does it, you ought to be able to do it. And they actually brought this into the colleges of America. And this is brought into the College of America today. If an animal does it, you ought to do it, because, you know, evolution says that you're just a glorified animal, so you might as well live like an animal. You might as well live like a monkey. You might as well live like a dog. I hope you can see that when you as a young person decide to live for yourself and do whatever you want to do, you're choosing to live as a Satanist practically. There's no reason for me right now to trace the rise of Satanism and occultism and the hippie movement, the rise of rock and roll and rap music and all of that. LaVey taught you that you need to live like an animal, get rid of your thinking, and just be your own God. Don't think about it. And a lot of young kids, even though they grew up in Christian homes, they say, I don't even want to think about it. I just want to go do my own thing. Well, when you go do your own thing, congratulations, you just became a Satanist. Anton LaVey's blatant, open Satanism hit a roadblock when the Charles Manson cult took his teachings to final fruition, and some in the church were caught up and some were killed, and Manson went crazy and the Manson murderers shocked the world, and all of a sudden they had to back off a little bit and bury it. But they still kept the form of godliness. They still kept this Satanism, do your own thing, see. The Bible says it's going to come back in its blatant form. It's already coming back. It's coming back in its blatant form. Revelation 13 says there's going to come a time when the whole world, they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. There's a man that's going to arise, and he's going to be a world leader. And the Bible says the dragon is going to give him his authority, and the whole world will worship the dragon. Who is the dragon? Revelation 12, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. I want you to see that the worship of Satan, not just practically, but openly, without a mask, is coming to this world. It's coming to the whole world. And you know why I got saved? One reason? I was at a house I shouldn't have been to, and it was after I played a gig somewhere, and I was at a house I shouldn't be, and I looked around. And people were doing drugs. And they had movies that were very gory. And they were all laughing about it as they did their drugs. And I just said, God, how can they be laughing at this? And then they put in another video with a rock band. And I saw kids as far as I could see, thousands of them. And I heard the leader of the band stand up and says, we all await the coming of the Antichrist. And I saw kids, thousands of them, begin to scream. And they began to say, Hail Satan. And I just began to look. And I just began to shake my head and say, what bus am I on? What train am I on? Stop the train. I'm getting off. I'm getting off. No, I see now what you folks are. You're a bunch of homosexual, sodomite, gory, devil worshipers. No. The mask is off. I'm done with it. I'm done. And I got off the train. They said I went crazy. I said, no, you're crazy. You're crazy. Sammy Davis Jr. recorded a song in 1968, I Gotta Be Me. Sammy Davis' cover of the song peaked at number 11. That's a Harry Potter Mason number. On the Billboard Hot 100 chart in the early 1969 and remained in the top 40 for 11 weeks. A lot of 11s here. Sammy Davis was a member of the Church of Satan, participating in their debauchery. Why would he want to sing a song like that? What does that have to do with Satanism? Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, says the song. Whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I got to be me. I got to be me. What else can I be but what I am? So says the sodomite. So says the boy that wants to be a girl. So says the girl that wants to be a boy. So says the fornicator. So says the adulterer. So says everybody. So says the rebel young person that wants to leave and throw everything in the trash that their daddy or their mama tried to build and tried to fight for you to have. That faraway prize, a world of success, is waiting for me if I heed the call. Not God's call. What's the call? I won't settle down. I won't settle for less. As long as there's a chance that I can have it all, I'll go it alone. That's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else. Oh, that's a popular one, is it? I can't be right for you, Dad. I can't be right for you, Mom. I got to be right for me. See, that's the relativism of the 1960s that they taught those hippies. See, truth is whatever you want it to be. It's all relative. That's your truth over there, but I got to find my own truth, see. What stupidity. If I'm not right for me, I got to be free. I've got to be free. Daring to try to do it or die, I've got to be me. No wonder he was a Satanist. No wonder he was a Satanist. David starred in a pilot sitcom called Poor Devil in the early 70s. It was a show about a demon trying to work his way up in hell. They gave him an award from the Church of Satan. The show got canceled, but they said, you know what, we know what you're doing. For a while, he always had a little color on his finger for the Church of Satan, and he always had him sit front row and stayed connected to them, even though he had to back off after the Manson stuff, you know. What am I trying to say? You don't even know who Sammy Davis Jr. is. I'm trying to tell... Some of you folks do. I'm trying to tell you that doing your own thing, Brother Luke. Doing your own thing, Josiah. Doing your own thing is all it takes to be a Satanist. I hope you can see this. I hope you can see it. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 10. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Of course it's not God. However, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So when a Gentile goes over to a statue and worships it, whether it's Diana or whoever it is, Diana, whatever she's made out of, marble or gold or silver or whatever, she's nothing but rock. However, there are devils behind those idols. I'm going to say something to you right now. Whatever you put before God, whatever or whoever you love more than God, becomes a devil. It becomes a type of devil. Don't love anybody more than God. Don't put anybody first. Don't put anybody before God. Okay? I want to do something really quick, and it's not going to take a long time. I just want to give you a few verses out of the book of Proverbs as I close. In light of everything I've said, I just want to give you a summary just for half of the book of Proverbs. And I want you young people to please listen to me, okay? You young girls, you young boys, I want y'all to listen. I remember sitting in church as a child, and I tell you, I tried so hard to understand something that preacher was saying. And all I ever knew is he kept saying, Jesus dwells in your heart. And that's the only thing I caught after years of going to Sunday school. Jesus dwells in your heart. I didn't even know what that meant. And I tried so hard to get something. And I hope you can get something from what I'm saying here, okay? I hope you leave and say, what did that preacher say today? He said, don't live for yourself or you're a Satanist. I hope you get something, okay? I hope you get something. But as we go through the book of Proverbs, let the Holy Spirit speak unto you, okay? Because really, your parents can't force you to be a Christian. They can't force you to love God. See, you've got to choose to love God. You've got to choose to love God's truth. See, they can try to humble you. and do everything they can to give you an environment to love God. But you have to choose to love God. Proverbs 1 says, "For that they hated knowledge." See, do you love knowledge or do you hate it? "And did not choose the fear of the Lord." See, you got to make a choice. And pretty soon, the devil's going to come and say, "You're finally free, buddy. You're old enough now. You want the fear of God and all that bad stuff? That's no fun, is it? Or you want to come have some fun with me?" And so you're going to sit there and you're going to say, "Well, I don't want to call it Satan worship." Oh no, you don't have to call it Satan worship. This is liberated Christianity. This is whatever. This is, you're not being a legalist, buddy. You're just not being a legalist. We're going to have fun. You're going to have the best of both worlds. You can think of yourself as a good Christian, but you can have all the show of the world. Hey, you got to choose. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord. "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." Where do you think it came from? It came through the parents. It came through the parents. And whatever they heard in church. "Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way." You want to go your way? You'll eat of the fruit of your way. And that's the choice. No, nobody can get you in the headlock and do anything. That's the choice you've got to make. "All those, they try to force me." Really? You name the person that got you in the headlock when you're 20 years old. I'll tell you something. We compel you. We persuade you. We do everything we can. But I'm going to tell you, there's nobody that got you in the headlock. Though I might get my son in the headlock. I might. I just might. But I'm going to tell you something. It says, "They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. My son, if thou wilt receive my words," you gotta receive it. "And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. If thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding." Man, I pray that by the time your child is 20 years old, they not only inside say, "Dad, I just desire more truth. I want to go to church this week. I want to learn more. You got any good books, Dad, that I can learn about God?" And I hope when you hear them in their room or out in the woods somewhere, they're saying, "God, please give me more of your truth." If that's not there, it doesn't matter what we do. We can have conference after conference and try to figure out what's wrong with kids. What's wrong with kids? What's wrong with kids? They don't love God. They don't love His truth. They don't want to know His truth. Because the devil somehow has convinced them that it's better his way. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." See, somewhere in that child's life, they got to realize truth is more important than money. And they got to realize it. They got to say, "Dad, instead of making a whole lot of money, I just want to be right with God. I just want to know God's truth. That there's nothing more important than God's truth. I gave up money because God's truth is more important." Some of you have done the same. And whether you have or not, what does that matter? What does that matter? "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." It's in the Bible. I think young people ought to learn that money's not everything. He says in Proverbs 3, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." That is, in everything you do, say, "I don't care whether it's my way." What's God's way? What does God say about it? If you're not ready at 20 years old to say, you know, the question I've got to ask about everything is, what does God want? I'm not here to do what I want to do. I'm here to do what God wants me to do. That ought to be the question you ask before anything you do. Does it give God glory? Whether I eat, whether I drink, no matter what I do, what does God say about it? And you better not be wise in your own eyes when you go to try to determine that. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase." Why does the pocketbook keep coming? Why does the wallet keep coming back up in a young man's life? I'm going to tell you, if you can't get where you love God's truth, so you love God's house, and so you want to support God's truth, then where's your heart at? One reason you as a young man ought to say, you know what? When I get out here and get a job, I'm going to come in and try to support the church. I'm going to try to lift up the pastor's hands and help him. I'm not going to muzzle the ox. You know what I mean? A lot of people get out here, some of the most critical against the churches. Any pastor that allows himself to quit preaching, I tell you, is not worth his salt. But I'm going to tell you, many are putting a stumbling block on the pastor. They criticize the churches, and they're not supporting the churches. See, if you can't get your pocketbook right, maybe your heart's not right. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? If you get to where you say, you know what, I want to support God's house, and you can say that at 20 years old when you're out here working, then praise God. Good things are going to happen for you. But what you end up with is about 3 or 4 people support the local church. That's about right. About 3 or 4 people support the local church. Everybody else says, I don't care what the pastor does. You know, I'm going to get teaching from the pastor, but I'm not going to support the pastor. And I'm not going to support the air conditioning and support all of that. I might every now and then, but I'm going to let other people take care of that. See, that's selfishness. That's that same hippie mess you were raised with. And so, from an early time, you ought to teach children to get their money straight, to get their values straight. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. So if you get to the place where you're right, now you got to keep it. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. So this time, now you're at work. And you say, Dad, I might have to get another job. If this other fella doesn't quit, I'm doing my best to try to live straight. But there's this woman coming and tempting me. And I tell you, she's coming after me. And it's going to happen, son. It's going to happen. But you're going to have to stand. And whatever you do, try to avoid it. Try to get away from that evil. Well, they keep offering me this and offering me that. You got to stand, son, because you want to stay with God. You want to stay with the truth. And he has to learn that he loves truth so much, he will naturally want to separate. He will naturally want to be away from anything that's going to cause him to stumble, see. But there are going to be a lot of people, and it might be you, God forbid. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Where's your heart right now, man? Are you asleep? Where's your heart? Some of you are going to go out here and backslide, and I've heard backsliders. They told me when they're out in the world, they said, man, you know when I was sitting in that church? Man, you wouldn't believe, I was ignoring everything you said. I was scorning it all and blah, 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 blah. This is where some of your hearts are right now. No wonder when you get of age, you're going to be out of here. See, I'm not just speaking for this church. I'm speaking for whoever's listening in whatever church they're in all over the world, whoever happens to hear this message. Where's your heart with God? For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Do you hate being reproved? That's what a lot of people try to leave. They say, I don't want to be goaded anymore by my papa. I don't want to be goaded by my preacher. I understand. That's what it's about. The Bible said the words of the wise are as goads. You know what a goad is? It's a big old long stick with a sharp point that you poke an ox with. See? And when you want the ox to go the way you want, if he's not going the way you want and he's coming at you, you goad him. And if he's not going where he needs to go, you goad him. You goad him. You poke him. And sometimes that's what being around the wise is like. You're being goaded. That's what listening to a sermon is like. Sometimes it's being goaded, being poked. And you say, I'm getting tired of being poked. I want to get out here where people don't poke me no more. There's no such a place. Because in the workplace, you're going to be goaded. See? And you're going to be goaded by the hard knocks of life. You're going to be goaded. I better move on. I love them that love me, says wisdom, and those that seek me early shall find me. Do you love wisdom? I can't make you love wisdom. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. Again, money. Whoso loveth instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproofs is brutish like an animal. There's some folks that just hate being reproved. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Fools make a mock at sin. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Folks, it begins in your heart. Some of you might have already backslid in your heart long before you get of age where you can jump ship. You backslid in your heart long ago. Or maybe your heart was never right with God. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. That's the way of the wicked. But He loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way, God's way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. You hate it? Is it grievous to you? I know being goaded is no fun. But what you got to do is look past just being poked. You got to say, you know what? This is for my own good. This is for my own good. Have you ever sat before preachers and said, I sure hope he doesn't sit here and just sugarcoat everything? Because if I'm going to spend time to come listen to preaching, man, I want to get something out of it. Dude, don't hold back, man. Give me something that's going to make me a better Christian, that's going to move me in some way, that's going to goad me and poke me and do what you can. That's what the godly wise person says. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, though. Neither will he go unto the wise. I'm not going to go there and be goaded. I'm not going to go there and be poked. No way. I hate that man. I hate my daddy. I hate my mama. I hate anybody. I hate all those Christians that think they're so high and mighty. So you just hate being goaded. You hate correction. Because you're a spoiled brat. You hear what I'm saying? You're a spoiled brat. And whether or not it's your daddy and mama's fault, you're a spoiled brat. They're going to stand before God. If they're not going to go to the wise, then the first chance they get, they're going to leave wherever the wise are. You get it? Are you raising a scorner, mom and dad? You raising a scorner? That's the question. Because if you're raising a scorner, as soon as they can get far from the wise, they're out of here. The words of the wise are as goads. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. No, he goes his own way. I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, you may be a child of God positionally, but practically you can be a child of the devil. Whose child do you think you are when you obey the devil? You're living like the devil. That's what that means. You're living like the devil. So it's going to be manifested whenever you get the power to forsake the truth and forsake your church and forsake your daddy's truth, whenever you get the power, it will be manifested who you are. See? It'll be manifested whether you are a child of the devil or a child of God. Now, you might be eternally saved. And I know there's some Calvinists and some Arminians and all of that. They're both wrong in so many ways, I don't even have time to deal with it. You're positionally saved by grace, once saved, always saved, not of works, lest any man should boast, through faith alone and the blood of Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you better walk, and you are called to walk a Christian life and be obedient unto God. And there is a sonship of manifestation as far as your experiential walk, and we'll talk about that some other time in fullness. But right here it says 2 Corinthians, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The promise was, if you will separate from the world, God will be, in a special sense, your father. And you, in a special sense, will be his son or daughter. That goes beyond just positionally believing in the Lord and being a child of God. This is talking about kingdom sons and kingdom daughters. Don't you want to live like God's your Father? Don't you want to be a child of God where it's manifested that you love God? Where everybody looks and says, I know He loves God. It says, however, that there was a young fellow named Demas. And Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. So when you start loving this present world, and you believe what the devil says about it, and you forsake the coming kingdom, and you don't care about your future, you'll begin to forsake the people of God in your life. You'll forsake the Pauls. You'll forsake your godly parents. You'll forsake your godly preacher. You'll forsake your godly church. And you will depart. If you want to know the root cause, having loved this present world. I don't care what you call it. You can play games. You can say whatever you want about it. But the truth of the matter is you depart because you love this present world. You want to be a Satanist. You say, no, I don't want to be a Satanist. If you forsake the true godly things and standards that God has given you, and you get out here and commit abominations, and you get away from the people that are trying to call you to live holy, you are living as a devil worshiper, whether you like it or not. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Dear Holy Father, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do pray with weeping in our hearts, God. We do pray, Father, that nobody would forsake the truth, Lord. That nobody will forsake Your standards. Oh God, that they will love You. That they will love Your truth. I pray that all of us, Lord, will be steadfast and will not forsake the truth, God. I pray every young person here will love God on their own, Father. That it's not just their daddy's God or their mama's God, Lord, but You would become their God. That they would begin to call upon You and walk with You and weep with You, Lord, and have quiet time with You, Father, and trust in You. Oh, Father, I do pray that they'll understand the reason for separation is we don't want to hurt Your feeling. We don't want to make You angry. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be pulled away into sin. That's why we touch not the unclean thing. That's why we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, Lord. Because You don't want a spotted church, and we don't want to be a spot on Your church, Father. Help these young people to love You, to have a heart for You, to pant after Your truth, to love Your truth more than money, and to not live unto this world, and not live unto the devil, and not obey the devil, and all of his lies, his stinking lies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.